It's time for Football Friday with Bill Savage, presented by Boyd's Royal Night on Government Boulevard in Mobile, featuring $8 weekday lunch specials, analysis and insights, the winners, the losers. Get ready for the weekend with Football Friday on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, and a great time every week when we get to check in with our buddy Phil Savage, GM of the Arizona Hotshots from the AAF Alliance. Also, of course, analyst extraordinaire all over radio for all things NFL, college, and of course, host of the podcast Football Philosophy and author of Fourth and Goal Every Day, our friend Phil Savage. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean. Hope you're well. It is a Football Friday, a special one for me. I'm in Philadelphia for the Army-Navy game tomorrow for some serious XM duties today. And what happens is USAA, the sponsor of America's game, they bring in 18 different outlets from across the country, create their own radio row to make sure that there's coverage from coast to coast. And so I'm here with Sirius for the third year in a row, and this is such a first-class event. It gives you hope for the future of our country when you get a chance to be around these people from the Naval Academy and West Point that, you know, are inspired to protect our homeland and inspired to be on call 24 hours a day. It's really something special to be here each and every year.
You know, I love, Phil, though, they are the best of the best in exactly what you laid out. At the same time, they're still college football fans. I saw the signs being held up by Army fans and Navy fans against each other, and they were cracking me up.
Yeah, I tell you, it's really been a change of events. When I came to this game for the first time 4 years ago, in the pregame warm-up, Navy looked like a bona fide FBS team, Army looked like the JV. And now Jeff Monken, the head coach, has really turned things around for the cadets. They are a bona fide team. They're 9-2 this year. They've beaten Navy 2 years in a row. They're going for a third straight win tomorrow. And, you know, since they lost to Oklahoma in September, 28-21, they've reeled off 7 wins in a row. So they're a legit football team. Both squads run the triple option, so there's not a lot of passing, but when you're there, you feel like every play is the most important play of the game. It's that intense between these two teams that really still believe in the 3 yards and a cloud of dust mentality.
Yeah, I love it. That's certainly one of the bucket list places you got to make it to in this lifetime. But were you able to, I know you're busy up there in Philly, but were you able to check out Derrick Henry's game from last night, setting a franchise record 238 yards for the Titans and tied Tony Dorsett's 99-yard longest run in NFL history? Were you able to check any of that out last night, Phil?
I saw some of the highlights, Dalton, and I mean, on the 99-yard run, it wasn't as if it just opened up and, you know, he had clear sailing for 99 yards. He punched and shoved and bullied three defenders that were in his path. It was quite a show for him last night. And, you know, I think that combination of he and Deion Lewis, you know, that was something that they've been hopeful of all season. And perhaps the Titans are going to round into form and get some momentum here in December and make a big playoff push.
Well, Henry, of course, a couple years ago won the Heisman at Alabama, and after the game last night, they asked him where his vote would go, and this is what he told the crew there on the NFL Network.
Who are you going to vote for? Who would you vote for?
Who you like?
Tua.
Shocking.
Okay. Tua. Roll Tide, man. That's not even a question. It's Tua all day.
All right, there you have it.
So he is, of course, going to vote for Tua, and then last night, Tua and Kyler Murray, they both kind of split some big end-of-season awards, with Tua getting the Maxwell Award and the Walter Camp Award, and then Kyler Murray won the Davey O'Brien and the AP Player of the Year. How do you see Saturday night going down, Phil, the Heisman ceremony? Tua's been the big favorite all year long. Is that one rough SEC championship game going to take it away from him?
I tell you, this time a week ago, I felt like that Tua was definitely the leader in the clubhouse. But after the events of last Saturday, where, you know, I do think Tua's candidacy took a hit. I mean, he obviously was banged up, not 100%. He was off his game a bit. But more importantly than that, the backup, Jalen Hurts, comes in and saves the day for Alabama. And I think for a lot of voters, that made them look at it like, well, wait a minute. If he's the best player in the country and the most valuable for his team, they still won a game that they were 14 points down in with the backup quarterback, Jalen Hurts. So I think that Kyler Murray, honestly, will win the award tomorrow night, the Heisman, despite the fact that they split those national honors last evening in Atlanta. You know, fingers crossed for Tua. I think he would be a deserving winner. But I think when push comes to shove here, I'm thinking that Kyler Murray's going to end up with the Heisman Trophy.
Well, we were talking before this segment about the award show yesterday that Tua and Kyler Murray were at. I was working my side gig as a bartender, so I didn't get to actually watch the award ceremony. But you said Tua looked like he was he rolling around? Was he in a wheelchair? Or what was going on with Tua last night?
Well, he wasn't on a wheelchair, but he was on one of those contraptions, like where if you have a big heavy boot on, which he did on that ankle, it was elevated, you know, on a knee pad, and then, you know, you push. It's like a scooter. Yeah. And I tell you, you know, it had the Alabama logo on it, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but the Tide's using a private plane for banquet season for Tua, and the trainer, the head athletic trainer, Jeff Allen, who does a phenomenal job for the Tide, he's actually traveling with Tua so that he gets all of the treatment and rehab necessary, even on the aircraft between these events. But I have to tell you guys, today is December the 7th. Bama is on the field for a real game December the 29th. That's only 22 days away. Plus, you back that up about 7-8 days in terms of, you know, your practices. And this is going to be a really close call in terms of if he's really going to be able to go out and play against Oklahoma. And I tell you, from an overall big-picture philosophy standpoint, is Alabama better served to try and get in a track meet with Oklahoma and Kyler Murray in that offense, or are they more apt to play more ball control and utilize Jalen Hurts as a dual threat passer and runner and try to control the clock? And I think that's probably the biggest overall question Alabama has to ask themselves is, as they're recruiting right now and haven't really zeroed in on Oklahoma yet, but to me, that's going to be a really important fork in the road for them to decide to go down one way or the other here, and that's going to happen probably in the next 10 days.
It'll be really interesting, and I'm sure at least Hurts will get a lot of work with the ones, the first-team offense there is to a kind of rehabs. I'm sure that'll help if they do need Jalen to go in and play for them.
Yeah, I would suspect that Tua wouldn't be able to practice, and this is just a guess, but I mean, even on the most optimistic front, they're saying that at least 2 weeks before you can go into any, you know, real lateral movement. Well, 2 weeks from now takes you to the 21st, which puts you a week out from the game. So I would suspect that Jalen will get all the work when they reconvene and start practice up again. And then they'll make a decision by the 22nd as to what the real game plan will be and who's going to be involved in it.
And before we let you go, Phil, I got to get your take on some of this coaching chaos already. The season's barely ended for so many teams, but lots of coaches already on the move. We've heard the Alabama's offensive coordinator, Mike Locksley, he's heading to Maryland to coach the Terrapins, and he'll pull double duty like so many Alabama coaches before him have done. How tough is that balancing act, you know, recruiting and preparing to coach at one school while game planning for the number 4 ranked team in the nation?
Well, it's tougher now than it's ever been because of that new NCAA rule that has the early signing date that's just around the corner. You know, it's around December the 18th or 20th, something like that. So you're talking about recruiting for one school while coaching at your previous school. And what typically happens on that is that once Alabama gets back on the field, probably as soon as next week, Locksley and any coaches that are sticking around will work for Bama by day, and then they'll work for Maryland by night. So they definitely pull double duty. They burn the candle at both ends for the next week. And it is definitely the coaching carousel. As a matter of fact, there were 20 openings at the biggest level, FBS. And as of yesterday, 14 of those 20 had already been filled. So
wow.
These ADs and schools are operating at warp speed to make sure they get a head coach in place ahead of that early signing.
Well, four schools that still need to fill their offensive coordinator position now. Auburn, whose OC Chip Lindsey went to Kansas, and then Locksley. Tennessee's offensive coordinator Tyson Helton heading to Western Kentucky. And then Florida State, they also need an offensive coordinator now. Those are some big-time programs that are going to spend a lot of money on their assistants. And the reports this morning, and they're not completely confirmed yet, but your offensive coordinator there at Arizona with the Hotshots, Hugh Freeze, looks like he might be heading to Liberty. What direction do you see Alabama going for their next offensive coordinator, and what do you think Auburn's going to do? Is Gus going to keep running the offense, or what do you see happening there?
Yeah, I think at Alabama you'll see Dan Enos, the quarterback coach, be elevated into the coordinator post, I would expect. And then, you know, depending on, there's been some talk that Josh Gattis, the wide receiver coach, might follow Mike Locksley to Maryland as well. And those are two, you know, major league recruiters for Alabama, so that would be a pretty significant hit for the Tide off the field. But Enos most likely gets promoted. Then they'll go out and either promote from within, perhaps Butch Jones to get elevated onto the staff. He's been in an analyst role, and he's an offensive coach that now knows that system. And then over at Auburn, I don't know what direction Gus will end up going. You know, there's been a lot of talk about Hugh Freeze at not only Auburn, but at Tennessee, Florida State, and Alabama. And it appears and sounds as if those will all go by the wayside, as he most likely now is headed to Liberty as the head coach for the Flames.
All right, I've got to ask one more question, not X's and O's, but kind of. If people are looking for, you know, we've done it before in our family, like this year, picked up copies of Fourth and Go Every Day for Christmas gifts, where can they get that book, and are you going to have any chances for people here locally to buy it?
Sean, the book's available, of course, online, and everybody likes to shop Amazon and all that, but, you know, Amazon, Books a Million, Barnes & Noble, all of those outlets have it. And then locally, most of your major bookstores have copies of Fourth and Goal Every Day available. And then particularly Page and Pallet over in Fairhope, I know the copies they have are signed because I signed the rest of their stock a week or two ago.
Cool.
But it's easily accessible, and it is an answer to your gift questions for that aunt or uncle or grandparent. It's like, I don't know what I'm going to buy for them. I just know they love Alabama. It's a good read for an Alabama fan, that's for sure.
It's one of the best, and it's a big gift under the tree for the Sullivan family, for sure. All right, and quickly, if people have not been listening to us in the past here and don't realize that even after the Super Bowl, football continues, tell them about AAF football. What's happening here in February?
I tell you, we're really cranking up for real. So I leave Philly tomorrow after the game and fly to Phoenix. Our coaching staff comes in on Sunday. We're going to have a series of meetings the early part of the week. And then next Thursday, the 13th, we'll have 82 hot shots filling up in Phoenix for our first ever mini camp and onboarding with those players that will lead into training camp in San Antonio, where all eight teams of the Alliance will go for about 3.5-4 weeks to get ready for the season that, as you alluded to, kicks off the weekend of February 9th and 10th. That's the weekend after the Super Bowl. And the Hot Shots will play host to the Salt Lake Stallions on that Sunday afternoon, February the 10th, on CBS Sports Network.
All right, we can't wait to check that out, and of course we'll talk about that more in the weeks to come. As always, Phil, we appreciate your time, and have fun at the game tomorrow.
Good deal, Sean. I appreciate it. Don't take care of yourself. We'll catch up next Friday.
All right. Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Football Friday brought to you by Boyd's Royal Knight with our buddy Phil Savage, and we're coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Glad to have you here. Sean, Dalton, Kelly, Dr. Bill, Kane, y'all at 343-0106. That's the text line and the phone line. Cool event. Another cool event. This one tonight at Cottage Hill Package. This is neat. They have a Jack Daniel's free tasting going on from 6 to 9. That's a good thing in its own right. But also, Cottage Hill Package lets you personalize select Jack Daniel's bourbon bottles that you purchase there by etching your message or logo into them for free. And this really makes it nice when you're giving it as a gift. Either if you're doing it with a company, you can put your company logo on it. If you're giving it to a specific person, have their name in it or a quote or a phrase. Even if you can't be there for tonight's tasting, they can still take care of you for a limited time here for your etching order. They just need you to fill out your contact info and leave a thumb drive with your, like if you had a company logo, leave a thumb drive with the JPEG on there or whatever, and then they etch that into the glass. They really make great Christmas gifts, business gifts as well. Make sure you're the coolest Santa in town when you give one of those etched Jack Daniel's bottles. Check them out today or sometime over the weekend or next week, but make sure to check them out for your Christmas gifts. And if cigars are on your list, huge humidor, great selection, wine, spirits, craft beers, and of course domestic beers too. Cottage Hill Package, ready to serve you, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, online at cottagehillpackage.com, and like them on Facebook. Let's do this too. This is the last shot here at win them before you can buy them. Tickets for Hootie and the Blowfish and Bare Naked Ladies, that show goes, tickets go on sale at noon today. Show coming up June 6th at the Wharf Amphitheater, and I'll take caller number 6 at 343-0106, 343-0106. Caller number 6, pair of tickets are yours. Win them before you can buy them.
This is just another reminder why you need to save us in your favorites or as your, like, most called number.
Right.
Because you wouldn't even have to dial. You just hit one button.
Just mash a button.
Right. And this impacts your gift giving. This impacts your fun.
That's
so this
right.
is why you listen every right. morning.
So there you go. If you're not that there's anything wrong with 30-year-olds and 50-year-olds, but if you're in your 40s, this is our show. Hootie and the Blowfish, Bare Naked Ladies, Wharf Amphitheater show coming up in June. Tickets go on sale today. By the way, when they do go on sale today at noon, the way you can buy them, well, of course, Ticketmaster.com gets you through. Also, you can charge by phone. And I guess in the old-fashioned way, does anybody do the old-fashioned, like, what? Walk up to a ticket window? Because you can go, it says Wharf Box Office, so I guess you can walk up the Wharf mm-hmm. Box Office today and pick up your tickets or charge by phone, 800-745-3000. Once again, noon today, tickets on sale for this Hootie and the Blowfish Bare Naked Ladies show. Ticketmaster.com, Wharf Box Office, or charge by phone, 800-745-3000.
And congratulations to James Cowart from Sims. He picked up a pair of tickets to see Hootie and the Bare Naked Ladies.
There you go. You think they'd if they mashed up the band into one?
Hootie and the Bare Naked Ladies. I love it.
The Blowfish, not so much, but the Hootie and the Bare Naked Ladies together. Also, we'll take a couple calls, some national news, of course. Also, I would get your reaction to this Kevin Hart story, stepping down as host of the Oscars because he refused to apologize for his old tweets.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Hart stepped down as host of the Oscars late last night because the Academy was forcing him to apologize for some old homophobic tweets, and he didn't want to. Strangely, as he was announcing that he was stepping down, he did apologize to the LGBT community. It's pretty strange how it all went down. It started yesterday morning when people started bringing up Kevin's controversial homophobic tweets from almost a decade ago, saying he was dropping gay slurs, used gay as an insult, and repeatedly talked about how he wouldn't like it if his son turned out to be gay. He'd say stuff like, quote, if my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say, in my voice, stop, that's gay. He also then used some stuff about that in his comedy routines. Of course, he's addressed this before, saying things like he wouldn't do that kind of comedy anymore because people have become more sensitive, but he never really sincerely apologized publicly. So after this started going viral, Kevin finally deleted some of those old tweets. But the story now is he is out of the hosting gig at the Oscars.
I don't know. First of all, we know name-calling is not good and making fun of anyone.
He's a comedian.
But I was just going to say, that's what he does for a living.
It's the most boring routine ever.
So when these people picked him to be their host, they had to understand that he excels on controversy.
Yes.
Getting your feathers all ruffled and then making you laugh about it.
Now, they didn't care until there was a viral movement yesterday about this, right?
I wonder who's going to be the new host.
Somebody bland. We'll talk about that when we get back.
I'm going to go to Nickelodeon Junior.
Hey, thank you, Kane. 836 now. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Well, we're in a new month here, the very beginning of December, and I know that Black Friday sale at McConnell Automotive went great, but tell me what's going on at the car lot right now.
Well, you know, Dalton, one of the things that's happening is General Motors, and they are trying to sell cars, and so are we. So when those two line up, good things happen. And we've been talking about the closeout sale for the model year. So 2019 models are arriving, and the new truck is so exciting. People have been checking that thing out because of that multi-lift tailgate and all the things that are going on. But the Yukon is kind of jumping out to me, and friends of mine are taking advantage of it. So we want all customers to know about it. We're talking about $10,000 in savings on an 18 Yukon, and I think we are down to our last 12 or 13 of these. And, you know, it's the same exact vehicle, Dalton, as the 2019. So you're talking about really kind of saving that extra $5,000 or $6,000 compared to any other time of the year. And if you bought a Yukon in 2018, then you could really kind of say you save $4,000 or $5,000 extra if you buy it this month at McConnell. And that pays for a lot of Christmas presents, Dalton. And our website, McConnellAutomotive.com, will show you which of these last 12 we got left. And we got the trucks going on. Everything is happening. And I think it's the biggest savings of the year.
Yeah, I love the website. Super easy to navigate. And you can check out all the inventory right there at McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate it, Mitch. Hope you have a good one.
Dalton, y'all have a great day, partner.
All right, same to you. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. All right, 8:38 now on FM Talk 106.5 as this Friday edition of Mobile Mornings rolls on. And lots of news we've gotten to today so far. There's been a couple international stories we haven't really had the time to talk about, a couple national stories as well. But, Kelly, have you seen what's been going on in France with all these protests?
Yeah, you know, I know it's been going on for a couple of days now, and it's... When you see stories like this, they always say the worst ever or unprecedented. Yeah. But the rioting and the destruction that has happened, what are you seeing this morning?
Well, you know, they've been protesting taxes mm-hmm. and the high living costs over there in France. And the news this morning, they're going to actually close the Eiffel Tower and some other landmarks, some tourism landmarks in Paris. They're going to deploy 89,000 police nationwide tomorrow. And this weekend will be the fourth weekend of protests over those high taxes. About 8,000 extra security personnel, they say, will fan out in Paris alone. And if you saw some of the footage from last weekend, the rioters were out. They were torching cars, looting some shops, and some of them even defaced what they call it, the Arc de Triomphe, and had graffiti that was criticizing French President Emmanuel Macron. He's been criticized because they're saying he's out of touch with the concerns of the working class just by raising the taxes the way they have. And he even had to scrap some plans, Macron did, to hike fuel taxes. So craziness going over in France right now. Just a ton of people out protesting and destroying, you know, property in France because of the rising taxes.
You may not speak the language, but you understand not being happy with taxes no matter which country you're living in.
Yeah, for sure. The three big things right now on FMTalk1065.com. Mayor Sandy Stimson right here in Mobile suing the Mobile City Council. Mayor says he was elected to run the executive branch and run the city, and now the mayor using the court system to reaffirm his authority. This is from our news partners at WKRG Channel 5. They say the lawsuit stems from the hiring and then firing of City Council spokesperson Marion Steinfels, who we've been talking about quite a bit over the last few weeks here, and City Council leaders say they believe there's more to this lawsuit than a single personnel issue. They write, for 33 years, the mayor and city council have taken over the leadership of the city after the federal government determined a three-person city commission was not effectively serving everyone in the city. And since then, the mayor and the council have found ways to compromise on divisive issues until the mayor filed a civil suit against the city council in circuit court. LaVon Manzi, who's the city council vice president right now, said, "We're all in charge. There are eight people in charge of our city. It's a bigger issue than one individual. It's the principle of how our government is created." Another story, and this was a huge breaking news story yesterday, 29 priests and deacons in the Mobile Archdiocese accused of child sex abuse. That's on our website right there. You can check that story out. And also yesterday, thousands go out to salute Bush funeral train on the final Texas ride. And what a, just this entire week, the funeral, the entire goings on around former President George H.W. Bush, the 41st President of the United States. Really well done over the weekend. It ended yesterday in that train ride. as he was taken to Texas A&M and buried behind the Bush Library.
And, you know, we've been treated to being able to see all the former presidents that are still alive. We've been talking about the civility. We've talked about the pomp and circumstance. We've talked about the military precision. I mean, the great stories from when 41 was commander-in-chief, how 43 has responded, you know, so lovingly. I'm going to admit, though, I'm glad he's finally able to rest. I mean, that's emotionally exhausting on everyone involved. I'm talking about, of course, the family. And then as a country, of course, you'll recall that President Trump has signed the necessary paperwork that all flags will fly at half staff for 30 days. So when you're taking your kids to school or maybe you're going to the bank, you're running by the post office and you're wondering, why is the flag still, you know, at half staff? Well, that's why. 30 days to recognize and appreciate and commemorate our commander-in-chief. 41st Commander-in-Chief.
Yeah, I think this week was done in very good taste,
yes.
I would say. Just outstanding services all the way around and really paid tribute to a great American. Another big national story. Now, I don't think I'm ready to go all in on this because we've heard of people in the president's staff. We've heard of them, you know, potentially leaving.
Oh, I know where you're
going. Lots of reports of people being fired or leaving the White House. Mm-hmm. And then a couple days later, we'll hear that they've either changed their mind mm-hmm. or the initial report was not true. But CNN reporting mm-hmm. that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly will resign in the next couple of days. They're claiming that White House sources said that Kelly's relationship with the president, which is often reported as tumultuous, we've heard that before, they say it's no longer seen as a sustainable relationship, and it'll likely lead to Kelly leaving here in the near future. Nick Ayers, he's been a longtime aide to Vice President Mike Pence. He's currently serving right now as actually Pence's chief of staff. They say he's being mentioned as a potential replacement to take over as the White House chief of staff. And this isn't the first time there's been rumors of Kelly's departure, though. It's been pretty frequent, but he has remained in that position for the last few months.
Well, I'll add on to your story, plus 10.
Okay.
The Associated Press just tweeted out, I mean, just moments ago at 8:43, breaking, Trump says he will nominate William Barr, Attorney General under President George H.W. Bush, as his next Attorney General. Trump is also nominating State Department spokeswoman Heather Nauert to be U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations. Of course, she is a former news anchor at Fox. She will then be replacing Nikki Haley, who has announced that she was, you know, stepping aside in that role. So that is information. Just tweeted that out at Kelly K2K Finley. A lot of movements happening, but again, we've talked about throughout the administration. Movements are normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've lost track as to how many have happened with this administration. It's normal, but when there's such high profile, I think appointments is what gets everyone's attention.
And this really isn't anything new. Pretty much every single president has had a high turnover. I mean, you're talking about a pressurized situation. Ooh. Working in the White House, lots of pressure, lots of competing personalities. So it's not just the Trump administration, but obviously the news in this day and age, every single little movement is going to be picked apart.
You know what? They should just pass each other a piece of candy and keep it civil.
They should.
Keep it jovial.
Take a page out of the George W. Bush playbook.
There you go.
I love it. 8:45 here on FM Talk 106.5. 251-343-0106. That's the number. Text us or call us. We're going to wrap up this Friday edition of Mobile Mornings right after this. All right. 10 minutes till 9 here are Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. We want to thank everyone who came out last night.
Yes.
An awesome time at Fairhope Brewing Company, right there in Fairhope on Nichols Avenue. Poured lots of great craft beer right out of the tap. And Kelly, I think we were a lot better this year than last year.
Oh, I came in with a game plan. Like, I wasn't playing around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I knew to take care of my customers because,
yes.
You know, as your bartender, you have appropriate glasses for appropriate drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Some of my customers may have had taller glasses than they should have, but boy, did they tip heavy.
They did. It was awesome. And it was all for a good cause. Wilmer yep. Hall Children's Charities. The tips all went to that last night.
Mm-hmm.
And my only complaint, you know, I was asking people, because this is my third year now doing the guest bartending there. Mm-hmm. So in about 8 more years, I should get my biweekly paycheck, I think. And but I feel like I'm not getting the entire bartender experience because it's great. We have people that show up. We're pouring the beer.
Yes.
But I wanted to solve some life problems last night.
Oh, well, you know, here's the issue, though. If you step aside and have a conversation, then you're missing assisting other customers who are waiting to speak directly to you.
Right.
I was able to talk to a couple of, I talked to a couple who's married, and she was in the Navy, and he's in the Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. They're like a few months away from their oldest child graduating from high school. So they're thinking about, you know, what's next?
Uh-huh.
And then we got to meet Santa himself.
Yes. Santa was there.
And his beautiful wife. They know they are. I met some Michiganders last night.
Really?
As well.
Mm-hmm. You guys just find each other.
Oh, we do. We roll in packs, but very nice to meet this lovely couple who have called. Now, Alabama is their home. They lived in the cold for 30 plus years.
Yeah.
So they said, Alabama's our new home. I said, so who do you root for?
What'd they
and,
say?
They said Alabama, but I said, no, I meant when you were in Michigan, who do you root for? And it's interesting how people root for their teams because they had a personal situation where one of their family members had to receive medical care, so they rooted for University of Michigan.
Ah.
And the other one said, I got my degree. It took me a long time, so I'm going for Michigan State.
That's awesome. Yeah. I had some friends, some family friends back in the day that were married. One an Ohio State fan and one a Michigan
Ooh.
Fan. Not sure how that marriage has lasted as long as it has.
A house divided.
Kind of like an Auburn-Alabama marriage right there. Well, you know, at the end of the year, us Americans, we like our top 10 lists. It's so tidy. I've got a couple top 10 lists here, and I'll let you choose which way we go with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we can either talk about the top 10 secret Santa gifts that people actually want. Of course, Secret Santa, a big thing at holiday parties and family Christmas parties. Or we could talk about Grubhub, the food delivery service.
Okay.
Top 10 foods of 2018 that show the trendiest food in America. So which one of those stories interests you more?
I'm going to be honest. I like both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with the first one, because what are the parties called when you get a gift but you can trade it out with someone else?
That's still Secret Santa. Yes.
No. Like somebody gives it to you. I think, is it an elephant?
Elephant giving, or what do they call?
No,
I don't know.
I know our people, our friends listening, but what happens is you get the gift and you're like, I really don't like this. So if somebody else gets a gift, you get first dibs on changing out with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that before, but I can't remember what we called that at the family Christmas party. But Secret Santa, you know, there's usually a limit of how much money you could spend, because you don't want one person showing up to the party that spent $150 on something and you're sitting there with your $5, you know, from the bin at Walmart gift. Well, new poll found the top 10 Secret Santa gifts that people actually want. And here we go. Starting at number 10, a bubble bath.
You want someone to give you a bubble
that's
bath?
That's a great question. I don't know if they want to be bathed, like jump in the bath. Probably not good for family Christmas there. Definitely not good for work Christmas either. That can get you in some trouble. Probably those bath bombs. Those have gotten so popular.
Yes, yes.
Where you throw them in the bath and they bomb the bath with bubbles.
Right.
Number 9, I guess after the bubble bath, perfume or cologne. But since there's a limit on it, you'll have to get like a $20 thing
of
cologne.
You know what you do? You go and get those samples.
Yes, just get them a lot of the samples.
Can I get 10 of those samples?
Secret Santa, here you go.
Right.
Samples of cologne. Number 8, socks. People want socks at their Secret Santa. Okay, that's all right. And I do have a family member that buys me socks every year.
Uh-huh.
And they stopped over the last couple of years, and now my socks are getting old. I haven't had to buy socks in like a decade. And so now I'm asking that person who normally gets me socks, I need more socks.
That's specific, though. That's right on the money. You know, you socks. That's it. Good.
That's all I need. Number 7 on the list, candy. People asking for candy from Secret Santa. Number 6, money. They don't want you to actually go out and buy anything. Just stuff that $20 or $30 or however much you're supposed to spend on Secret Santa. Just put it in an envelope and give it over to me. That's number 6 on the list. Number 5, candles. Okay, number 4, a book. That's pretty common gifting, and that's right around that range, $20 or $30. Number 3, a gift card, which I'm surprised isn't a little bit higher.
Right.
Because you could spend that wherever. Number 2 on the list, this is different from candy somehow. People want chocolate at their Secret Santa parties. They love getting chocolate. Not Valentine's Day, not Easter, but Christmas chocolate. And number 1, everyone knows this one. You're probably going to get it at quite a few parties this year. Alcohol. They want to be gifted alcohol at Secret Santa, and that's probably just so they can make it through the rest of the night.
Or, let's be honest, let's keep it real, okay? Authentic, transparent. Some people like gifts that they can re-gift, and give at another future event.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So if it's alcohol, it's in a beautiful bottle. It's already packaged.
Uh-huh.
You can buy one of those wine bags or, you know, a pretty bag to put it in, and you take it to your next location, especially if you're not a drinker.
Uh-huh.
Or especially if you don't like that particular flavor that you've been given.
Yeah, great for regifting.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. That's awesome. And then, like I said earlier, the Grubhub Top 10 Foods of 2018, and they say that based on how much they were ordered this year compared to the past, so they're saying trending up, not necessarily the most popular food, but the trendiest food in America, and number one on the list, bean burrito. People
what?
Ordered, the orders of bean burritos up over 276%. From 2017.
There's some things I need to get on my own.
Yeah, I'm not sure why bean burrito took such a big jump this year, but Grubhub says that it was the number one most popular trending food for them this year. And then behind that, poke bowls. I never know how to say that. Poke?
Whom?
Have you heard of poke bowls?
No.
I think it's a Hawaiian thing.
Oh.
There's a couple new restaurants here in Mobile that specialize in this, but poke bowls, of course, they're trending because probably no one has heard of them, like me, until this year. Chicken sliders are big this year. Baby back pork ribs, close relative to bean burritos. Chicken burritos, doing well, according to Grubhub. Chicken sandwiches, cauliflower rice bowls, chicken and waffle sliders, then your Parmesan chicken and buffalo cauliflower. So cauliflower appears to be popular, as well as different types of burritos. According to Grubhub, those are the most trending food of 2018. A lot of people getting delivery now. I feel like there's like five or six different delivery services here in Mobile alone.
But I'm going to be honest, I've been at restaurants before where I've seen a Grubhub person come in.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are excited about their job. They're ready to get that food, keep it hot, and keep it going. But there's other people. Not so much.
Yeah, you can tell when you answer the door who likes their job and who doesn't.
Amen.
Sometimes I think they just want to leave it on my doorstep and then
no,
take
they
off.
Don't want the pirates to come get them.
Good point.
Porch pirates.
Got to watch out for them. That does it for us this week on Mobile Mornings. We'll be live. Mobile Bay Coins today for Midday Mobile. Come on out.
Yeah.
Say hi. We got plenty of goodies to give out. And Laura Ingram Show is on the way next. We'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m. right here. FM Talk 106.5.